You got to be concerned about your health. So there's no question about that. You got to take care of yourself. You know, you need to see your doctor. But once you have done everything that you can do, let me ask you a question. I'm preaching to Pastor Glaze now, too. I'm preaching to Pastor Glaze. What good is it if you continue to look at your circumstances and allow them to take you down? You've done everything that you can do. I mean, I know this is something that that's facing you every day, but you got to learn to not be like this guy right here. He looked at his circumstances, and they almost took him down, which leads to my next point, that don't look at your circumstances, but you got to keep your eyes on Jesus.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude part one of We Might Wobble, But We Don't Fall Down. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of part one, We Might Wobble, But We Don't Fall Down.
Having victory over cancer. All depends how you look at it. Here this man was about to meet his maker in a little while. Cancer was going to take him out. And somebody said, man, I'm sorry that you are losing your battle with cancer. He said, I'm not losing the battle. I'm not losing the battle. And then he went on to give these reasons why he was not losing the battle. And why was it? Because God said, I will strengthen thee. I will strengthen thee. That he was walking through his battle in victory. Was nothing at this point that he could do about the cancer. Nothing he could do except commit it to the Lord. Knowing that his life was soon going to be over. But yet and still, God strengthened him in the midst of what he was going through. I will strengthen thee. See, a lot of times, and you know, as a pastor, it weighs on my spirit because many times when somebody is healed, they say, well, praise God, he brought me through. God healed me. And praise God that he does heal and that he does heal people of cancer. And I thank God for that. But I've seen it happen on many occasions where another person with just as much faith as that person that got healed, walking just as close to God as that person that got healed, and they left here. And so sometimes the victory is not in, it's not in the healing. The victory is not in the healing, but it's in the attitude. It's in the walk. And would to God that, I'm going to say me first and everyone in here at having to deal with a situation like this, that yeah, we would pray for God's healing. Yeah, we would ask the Lord to touch our body. No question about that. But to realize that my true victory is in how I go through this thing. And that God, yeah, we talk about saving grace, but you know, sometimes we don't talk about sick grace, right? We talk about saving grace, that God gives us grace to be saved, that he gives us the grace to be able to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, that we have the grace to be able to do that. But sometimes we don't think about that sick grace that God gives us. That in the midst of suffering, in the midst of dealing with an illness, that God gives us the grace to be able to deal with it. And what does he say? His people, here they were. They were in another land. They were under oppression by another country, another nation. And God says, in the midst of what you're going through, I will strengthen thee. I will strengthen thee. And not only did he say that he would strengthen him, but you don't have to wobble because God said, I will help you. I will help you. Now, this word help was an interesting word. And as I studied it out, and I put all those scriptures up there, 1 Chronicles 12 and 2 Chronicles 14, 25, 26, 28, Ezekiel 30, and Ezekiel 32. That the same word that he, see that word up there, yea, I will help thee, the same word for help is used to refer to military assistance. When it says that I will help you, that same word was used when it was talking about militaries coming alongside to help an individual or another nation. And what is God saying? God said, you might wobble. He said, but you don't have to worry because I'm sending my militia out to help you. Now think about this. He's called Jehovah Sabaoth. And that actually means the Lord of hosts. So we see that in the Bible all the time. The Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Well, what does that mean? You know what it means? Some of y'all already know this. It means the Lord of the armies. The Lord of the armies. And so whatever we are going through, God says, I've got an army that is equipped to come alongside in whatever issue you're dealing with. I got an army that specializes in it. You need healing? I got an army that specializes in that. You got some financial issues? Hey, I got another army that specializes in that. You're dealing with relationship issues? I got another army. God is the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of the armies. And whatever it is that you're dealing with, he said, I will help thee. That I'm going to send my army. And they're going to give you assistance. And they're going to get down in the trenches with you in this battle. And they're going to help you to fight this battle. Oh, praise God. Praise God. He said, I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. And then finally, he says, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You might wobble, but God will uphold you. When you think about the devil, he might trip you up, but God will hold you up. Circumstances might pull you down, but God will hold you up. Enemies might cause you to stumble, but God will hold you up. Grief might weigh you down, but God will hold you up. And notice what the word uphold means. It means to, watch this, it means to grab a hold onto you. That whenever you're falling, God, I got you. I'm going to hold you up. Whatever you're going through, he's going to hold you up. But not only is he going to hold you up, but look how he says he's going to hold you up. He's going to do it with what? His righteous right hand. Now, when you look at the right hand was a place of strength and power. Now, as many of you might see today, if I put my softball talents on display at the picnic, you will find out that Pastor Glaze is a left-handed individual. I'm left-handed. And I'll just say this. If you're left-handed, you are in the minority because most people are right-handed. And so, you know, if you ask me, you know, what is my strength as far as throwing? And now I know some people, you know, are, you know, go both ways as far as throwing and batting. I understand that. All right, so no emails. Okay, I understand that. But if you ask me where my strength is at, as far as most activities, it's going to be what? My left hand. Now, I'm one of those messed up people, right? Because I throw with my left hand, but everything else I do with my right hand, right? I write with my right hand, eat with my right, everything else I do with my right hand. But most people, they do one thing, they do everything with one hand, right? And so when it says the right hand, as you go back and look at it in scripture, because most people are right-handed, that's the place of strength. That's where your strength is at, you know, and your right hand. And so God is saying that this right hand is symbolic of my strength. It's symbolic of my power. And my righteous right hand means that I have the ability to save and sustain my children in any situation. That I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That God will take us through. So I began to think, and I said, okay, what does it mean? And how can we look at being able to stand when we are wobbling? How can we continue to stand when we are wobbling? And as I meditated on that, the Lord showed me four things. And let me say this, let me give you these four things, and I'm finished. The first thing is that when you're going through, you can't look at your circumstances, right? You can't look at your circumstances because your circumstance, if you look at your circumstances, it will mess you up. Look at Psalm 73. Psalm 73. If you look at your circumstances, they will mess you up. Look at this, Psalm 73 and verse 1. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Watch this. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had almost slipped. What is this brother saying? He's saying, man, I almost bit it. Almost bought the farm, almost slipped and ended up on my backside. He said, man, I almost ended up on the floor. I don't know if any of you have ever in the wintertime or sometimes even in the summertime, if you've fallen, you know, and, you know, it's not a fun thing to fall, you know, because, you know, when you hit the floor, it's... You know, the pain is not in the falling. It comes shortly thereafter. All right? And this brother said, look, he said, I almost fell. Almost slipped. Almost lost my footing. And why is that? He said, verse 3, for I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He started looking at the wrong people. And if you start looking at your circumstances, if you start looking at the things around you, guess what? Your feet are going to slip. He said, for there are no pains in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compassed them about like a chain. Violence covered them like a garment. My eyes stand out with fatness. I mean, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than their heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouths against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, and waters of a full cup are wrung out unto them. And they say, how does God know? And is there any knowledge in the Most High? He said, man, I was looking at the wrong thing. You know, if you're looking at your, you know, and if you're sick, again, you got to be concerned about your health. So there's no question about that. You got to take care of yourself. You know, you need to see your doctor. But once you have done everything that you can do, let me ask you a question. I'm preaching to Pastor Glaze now, too. I'm preaching to Pastor Glaze. What good is it if you continue to look at your circumstances and allow them to take you down. You've done everything that you can do. I mean, I know this is something that that's facing you every day, but you got to learn to not be like this guy right here. He looked at his circumstances, and they almost took him down, which leads to my next point, that don't look at your circumstances, but you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Peter, when Jesus came walking on the water, and Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, let me come down from the ship right now." And see, we're a little hard on Peter because he ended up getting into deep water. But, you know, let's give Peter some credit. I don't see the rest of them guys jumping off the boat, you know. I don't see the rest of them coming off of there. You know, so give Peter some credit. And look, as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was doing all right. But then, you know, I think he started looking down at the waves and looking at the billows and maybe even saw, I don't know if they got sharks in the, they probably don't have them in the Sea of Galilee, so he probably didn't see a shark. That's just good preaching, right? Oh, he saw a shark. That's just good preaching, all right? But the point is that he took his eyes off of Jesus. And when he did, he began to sink. He began to go down. And so whatever we're going through, that we can't focus on our circumstances, you know, we got to look at Jesus. And how do we look at Jesus? Number three, order my what? Steps. Order my steps in your word. I got to get into the word of God. I got to, you know, play those songs. God has blessed us with music. And praise God for music, and especially music that's based on the word of God. Because then you can listen to your song that's based on the word of God, and the Lord can order your steps through your situation. So you walk according to the word of God. And if you walk according to the word, there's nothing that God cannot take you through. Don't focus on your circumstances. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Order your steps. I like when we sing that song, "Order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me, guide me. Father, I pray. Send your anointing. Father, I pray. Order my steps in your word." Psalm 119, 133. And then after that, let's look at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10. Solomon says, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings." So receive wisdom. I'm giving you wisdom. "And the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee," here you go, look, "in the what? Right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be hindered." King James says straightened. The word there is, can be translated hindered. "When thou goest, thy steps shall not be hindered, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble." Pursue wisdom. Wisdom is all around us. Wisdom cries out. You can look at people doing foolish things and see what happens to them, and there goes wisdom right there. Yeah. Whenever you see somebody make a mistake, and you observe somebody making a mistake, And you take that to heart, and you say to yourself, "Self, I bet not go down that same road." That's wisdom. That's wisdom. The Bible says wisdom is all around. It cries out. And so we get in the word, and then we pursue wisdom. We ask, as James said, "If anybody lack wisdom, if any man, woman, lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not." As I close this morning, Thomas Andrew Dorsey. He was educated at the Chicago College of Composition and Arranging. He played the piano in vaudeville. He frequented jazz clubs, and he had quite a reputation as a musician. Thomas, Andrew, Dorsey. Dorsey, in 1921, at the age of 22, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he began to play gospel music. Little by little, his reputation grew as a gospel songwriter. One evening, Dorsey was in church leading a congregation. And a man came to the platform and handed him a telegram. And he received the telegram, and it said that his wife had just died in childbirth. This almost destroyed Dorsey, but that wasn't the end, because the next day, less than 24 hours later, his newborn baby died also. Dorsey began to spiral down. He began to doubt God. He began to doubt his faith. And he began to struggle in his relationship with the Lord. One evening, he was sitting at a piano in a friend's room. And all of a sudden, in the midst of everything that he was dealing with, he was enveloped by peace. And it was a peace that was so strong, it just calmed his spirit. And he began to write a song. And he said, as he began to pen these words, "Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on and let me stand. I am tired. I am weak. I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call. Hold my hand, lest I fall. Precious Lord, precious Lord, take my hand. Take my hand. Precious Lord, take my hand. When the darkness appears and the night draws near and the day is past and gone, at the river I stand. Guide my feet, hold my hand. Precious Lord, precious Lord, take my hand. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. We might wobble, but we won't fall down."
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of part two of We Might Wobble, But We Don't Fall Down. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, part one of We Might Wobble, But We Don't Fall Down, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request part one of We Might Wobble, But We Don't Fall Down. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request part one of We Might Wobble, But We Don't Fall Down, or call us at 877-831-5060. That's 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you'd like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.